Hello? Are we on? Is it working? Can you hear me, Mud, there? Okay, we're back. It's as if we were never away. Lots of really good questions. We're working our way through them. The reference to princesses was that if you wake a princess from a deep, dark sleep, you do it with a kiss. I tried that. Didn't end well. That's how my head got this shape. But that's not a story you want to hear just now. So we'll keep on moving forward. So, Windows Phone Task Management, Background Agents, Tasks in Visual Studio, file transfer tasks, background notifications, and background music.
This is the funnest bit of Mango.
Oh, this is why we have, this is one of the reasons why Mango is just so wonderful.
That and the database.
That and the database, which is tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow. Yeah.
Looking forward to that one myself.
Yeah.
So, back to the user is king. The user is king. We do not want to compromise foreground performance. The whole design premise is the user must not suffer if a background task goes nuts or tries to take over the entire machine. And so background tasks are necessarily constrained in terms of what they can do and when they can do it to make sure the user never has a flat battery and never finds that buttons don't work when they press them. So that's why we do this, and it's what we do. This means we have a split between the application, which talks to the user, has all the screen and all that stuff, and a background agent. And a background agent does work for the application. You're only allowed to have one agent per application active at any given time. And this is really important. The word background is actually... think of it as not foreground, and it works a lot better. It doesn't run in the background when your application is at the front. It's only able to do its thing when your application has left the stage completely. And so it's not equivalent to a foreground application running in the background. It's something totally distinct and separate. It's a bit like sending someone off to do something or to sort of handle a specific particular task that your solution has a need for. So don't think that what's going to happen is you'll make this application and at some point it'll be running in the foreground and at other points it will not. That is not what's going to happen. At some point your application will be dead, it'll be not running at all, and your agent will be doing something on its behalf.
But that could be something as simple as the lock screen's gone up on the phone, so your foreground app is dormant at that point. Yep. That is an opportunity, should it be appropriate, for the background task to run.
But we're going back to design here, in that when you're doing your thing, you have to think of the operation, think of the process that you want to have happening when your app isn't around to do it. Say you have a sales app and you want to check when the customer's order comes into stock or is dispatched, okay? Well, your background agent will run every half an hour. It'll go onto your company's web service, check the shipping records, and if it's now shipping that item, it'll pop up a message box or change a live tile, Andy would explain, to say, item now shipping, okay? That's the kind of thing. Or if your application every 2 or 3 days downloads a new customer database, okay? That happens, it's a specific task, you make an agent to do it. So don't think of these things as a way your program can run in the background. That's not it. If you've got that in your head, you're wrong. If you want to play back music in the background, stream it from your server while your main music jukebox program isn't active, a background agent will do that for you very handily. So you pick the one that matches the task.
Yeah, and what it's about is giving your application life while your user isn't actually using it. It's some way that you can do some application-specific processing, like, as Rob says, go off to a back-end server and fetch some data or something, that it can then act on in order to make the application more alive and more responsive to external events.
And this is really clever, because what it means is that when your agent's running, that can be a tiny program. Your main program might be enormous with Silverlight animations, you name it, and loads of pages and fantastic stuff. There's no point in bringing the whole thing into RAM just to see if something's coming to stock.
Well, it won't allow you to.
Well, this is also true.
More to the point.
Absolutely. So you've got to think in terms of architecting your solution to fit the way you use the background agents to make it fly. There's a health warning here. The system restricts how many background agents are allowed to run. Agents only run when the time is right. In situations where the operating system says, OK, I can step back from giving the user a good experience and let his applications run. And if the phone goes into power save modes or the user disables your application's background behaviours completely, then you'll never get them to run.
In actual fact, when you get to use a Mango phone, so if you're a registered developer, you may have already flashed your phone to Mango, but if you've seen a Mango phone or used one for a bit, you will undoubtedly have got to a point where the battery is getting to a low critical level, and it actually pops up a message at that point asking if you want to disable any background processing things. So this is the power saver mode, which is a new thing.
You get a little heart on the battery, and if you make it automatic, when you get into that mode, it stops doing things like checking for email and doing anything which might flatten the battery even more, just so you can get that last bit of performance out to make that important phone call an hour or so down the line.
So the message here is, don't put anything that's application critical logic that into your background agent, because it may not run.
Background agents are icing.
They are.
Okay, make a cake, make a wonderful cake. Icing is what your background agents. They're the things that give it the features to give you warnings to blah blah blah, but they may never get run. Cakes without icing are quite nice, but cakes with icing are excellent. And so take that approach. You'll be absolutely fine. It'll all make perfect sense.
Lemon drizzle cake.
Lemon drizzle cake. Mm. Absolutely. You can't get it in the UK. Not in Starbucks. But we're digressing now. Let's get back onto the plot. Bit of nomenclature in terms of how it works. A task is the container that's managed by the operating system, and the agent is the code. And the code is the lump of text that we're going to be writing that gets to go. And there's two flavours of task. Periodic, which is every now and then, and resource intensive, which is I have a big chunk of work to do and I want to time and network bandwidth to do that. So periodic is stock checking. Resource intensive is I'm going to bring down a new customer database, decompress it and put it in memory to use tomorrow morning when we go back out on the road selling our product, whatever we're doing, okay? So again, pick the task type and then run with it and you'll be absolutely fine. Periodic tasks, yeah, they run every 30 minutes or so depending on how your phone is loaded. And these are designed to run something which will take no more than about 15 seconds to complete, go online, pull something back, whatever. And the phone can set a limit on how many of these can be running. So if you've got loads of people with periodic tasks, you might not get your half an hour. Great for location tracking, polling background services, message of the day, all that kind of stuff. Great for that. And that's what they should be used for. Resource intensive, big scary one. These only come on when the phone's powered up by the mains, when we have a Wi-Fi connection, and when the lock screen is on. So if the user plugs his phone in overnight to charge it, there's a huge amount of time there when you can actually get some work done and really crack on and do good stuff. And they can run for up to 10 minutes, and they've pretty much got the entire phone at their disposal at that point. So they can do a lot of work, plenty of network things. So bringing down new tracks for them to listen to go in the music collection, bringing down customer databases, unpacking resources, compressing garbage collection, tidying up, this kind of stuff. That's what your resource-intensive agents are all about. Okay, so there's two flavours. Pick the one that works the best for you. An agent can do both, and when it gets woken up, it can get told, okay, what kind of task are you running in? Am I resource-intensive or am I... And it can have the appropriate behaviour. And in fact, we'll be looking at how you do that a little bit later on. So this is where I'm a bit nervous here. The captain's log location tracker. The Starfleet command wants to keep an eye on our captain and decide where he's going to be at any given point.
So hang on, how can you lose a starship captain? I mean,
it happened every other episode, as I remember.
Okay.
And the guy in the red shirt would get killed.
All right.
That was the other thing that was pretty much. If you're not very old like us, you might not understand. Everyone knows Star Trek. It's like Shakespeare, only there's ray guns. Users can type in, we've seen Captain's Log, we know what it does. I've added a button called Start Tracking. That fires up a background agent which is going to actually keep track of the location of the phone and add that to the log, okay? That's all we're doing with this. This is how it works. I'm going to give you the code for this and you can take it away and do what you like with it. When you make a background agent, you do it by using a template, one of the Silverlight templates that you get with the phone. And so you just create this. You don't make a solution that's a background agent, you add that to an existing solution. So we now have another project in our solution, which is the background agent project. We put the code in there to make it run. And so if you look here, we'll find this is a solution file for the captain's log, and he's got two projects. Captain's log, which is the application, and then location task agent, which is the agent. And that's the background agent that's going to perform the tracking. You can put lots of projects and solutions. We've already established that. This is just one kind. And when we build the solution, the background agent, the whole lot gets pushed across into the phone or the emulator, wherever it gets to run. So it's all hanging together fairly sensibly. Before we can get our agents to work, there's one little thing we have to do. We have to explicitly link the captain's log and the task agent, and we do that by adding it as a resource. Now, you've probably done this lots of times. Sorry, as a reference, I apologise. Yeah, so you add the reference as you would do that for the sensors and library or any one of the other ones. Add it to the references. And what happens then is we get a little bit of extra text in the app manifest file which describes this application, which ties the background task to our app. This is the glue that holds them together. You don't have to worry about this. It's built for you automatically. But it took me a while to figure out, well, how does it know it's got a background agent? How does the learning agent know it has a Tonto? And the answer is, it's in here. And that's where the binding takes place. But don't worry about it. It's all just happens as though by magic. And this is the code that will run when the agent wakes up. And the name of the game is to fill in the to-do, which is that you put whatever code you need to perform your background task in the onInvoke method, and then at the end of that you call a method called notifyComplete, which means I am done. At that point you get pulled out of memory, and the next agent, if there is one, gets to go. Okay, so name of the game is we just drop the code into here because the template has made the place to put it. What I'm doing is I'm actually sharing captain's log data file that we've seen before in isolated storage between the background agent and the foreground. So if you have an agent working as a background agent for your application, what happens is that the background agent and the foreground can both see the same piece of shared data. So I load the message, the log information, and I set a little message string to say, I've loaded that fine. Or if it's the first time I run it, I make a brand new empty one and I make a message called initialized. What happens to that message? More in a second or two. But this is the first thing my invoke program does, is it goes off and fetches the current log string. Then it fires up a coordinate watcher, because I'm going to find out where this phone is. I'm tracking the phone. I'm using GPS to do this. So I make a watcher, I start it off, and then I read the position from it. Okay, I use the location property and make that into a string. This isn't as elegant as the demo we saw this morning with the maps. I'm just going to use the coordinates. Now, there's a little thing you have to bear in mind about this. It will be very, very expensive for the phone to actually fire up the location system for every background agent. So what happens is that it caches the location every 15 minutes or so and then makes that available to background tasks. So we don't have to worry about the overhead of starting up the GPS device, reading the position, putting it in memory. It's all done for you. We get the position and aware. Something funny?
Yeah, we just had a message. So thank you for informing us that you can get lemon drizzle cake in Morrison's in the UK. Thanks.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, that's it.
Good tonight.
That's my weekend sorted. are the computers
important?
Wonderful?
It's important.
Yeah, fantastic.
It's important.
Okay.
Where was I? Actually, a serious question.
Okay.
Because... question that's asking, by only one agent allowed per application, do we mean that one agent of each type or one agent of any type?
One agent.
We mean one agent, and that could be, it could be one type or the other type, or it could be a dual agent,
yeah.
As Rob says. When
double
it's
agent? No, someone in the back and thought of that. Yeah, there's a test you can make. The actual type of the scheduled task that you get passed, which is your parent, you can test that, and there's some sample code in here that shows that, just to give you the context in which you're being woken up. So you make one agent code base, and the first thing it does is the if condition, which context am I running in? And then you have to make it do both those things. So it's a good question, but you only have one, but it can do both roles. Double agent, like that. Okay. Once I've got my location, I store it back into storage, and I go back to sleep. So this is how my captain's log program actually works. Final little thing. The number of ways in which a background task can talk to the user are necessarily constrained. You can't put Silverlight things up because there's no UI. But what you can do is you can put toast notifications up which pop up and give a message, and you can also manipulate tiles. And Andy will be doing this, I think, tomorrow.
I will.
Yeah. So if you want to tell the user about something, then you can do that. If they touch on the notification, the foreground app gets fired up. So they can go, oh, thump. So, oh, it's in stock. Dink. And then your application fires up, works out the context, and does it. So you can make all this work really nicely. Mm. But what I'm doing here is putting up a little toast called Captain's Log, with the message either loaded or initialized to let me know how my data is working. You wouldn't necessarily bother with this in the real application. You could put location tracked or something. And so here we go. This is it. I can't put it off anymore. This is my scariest demo. Okay.
Oh, I'm with you. Cross my fingers.
And so I've got Andy on the side. That's always good to know. So I'll go back here and we'll take a look. And I've got two captain's logs lying around. How can we tell which is which? Well, this one has two projects in it. It has a captain's log and a location task agent. So this has got to be the real captain's log. And what I can do now is show you it going. So what we'll do is we'll make this full screen. There's my log entries page. And so I'll start this up, bring up Mr. Emulator, and I'll stop myself there because I'm about to do something stupid.
Correct.
I did something stupid back in 1973 and I've resolved never to do it again.
Yep.
So I've been completely sensible. Because of the fact that we may have a background agent running lying around which is not going to get the code deployed to it properly, I'm going to start with a very clean, brand new emulator. So all the stored programs, all the stuff has now been thrown away, and this program, when it starts up, will be the only one.
Right. While it's booting, we're just tackling another question here. Mm-hmm. So, question from Jeremep. Say I want to write an RSS reader that loads its articles every morning at 7 a.m. if Wi-Fi is on. The download will probably take more than 15 seconds. How can I do that? Well, would it take more than 15 seconds is the first question.
I would suggest that I would look for resource intensive.
But maybe you want to think of a resource intensive task, but then it would only, it would use the Wi-Fi, but it would run as long as the phone was plugged into mains charge, and then it would run, and then you would get what you want. But you couldn't guarantee, because it's based on user usage of the phone, you couldn't guarantee it would run every morning at 7 a.m. That's not really what it's about.
No, I mean, two things. Well, in my situation, to get the best effect, make it do both, and hope like as much as you can to make it fly. But do remember, background agents are icing. If your application needs to fetch that RSS feed to be useful, then it's not a useful application, I'm afraid. You've got to make sure that it actually just runs as a nice thing to have going.
There's other ways of tackling this.
Absolutely.
I haven't got time to go into this detail, but you know, if you're thinking about this, you could actually create a server-side task that downloads the data and then sends a push notification message and updates a tile, and the user would see it and then hit the tile, and then it would activate the app and then it could call home. So there's plenty of different ways of skinning this cat. So
quite a few Twitter readers do that.
Yep.
So that you have a tile that pops up with three or four more mentions, touch that, up it comes, Bees does that.
Yeah, but I'm covering tiles and push notifications tomorrow, so we'll go into these kind of scenarios a bit more.
Okay. Back to the scary demo. I can type in text as per usual, and store it, go back and look at the log. I can go back here. I can then hit the start tracking button, and this is where my background agent's fired off. Your application, when it starts up, if it uses background agents, it can go and ask the system, hey, what background agents have I got running? Can you tell me if there's one active at the moment? That's what this button does, in that if it finds the application running in memory, it displays stop tracking. If it doesn't find it, it displays start tracking. So this is how you do your task management in application. And again, you can steal this code. I'm perfectly happy with that. And the $64,000 question for Andy at this point is the background agent presently active?
Sorry, say again.
Is the background agent actually running at the moment?
I have no idea. I was answering a question, Rob. Sorry.
The answer to the question is no.
Thank you, Rob. There you go. No.
Background agent only works when the foreground is...
Right. Sorry, yes. Yeah. So the foreground app is running, so therefore the background agent cannot be.
Yeah. So if
I knew that.
But if I effectively switch out of it, so now I want to go off and do some browsing or whatever I want, then The background agent's now running, oh, look, I've got a toast right on cue. That's Ooh. Lovely. Yep. And that's the captain's log running in background. I'll leave him ticking over to make some position information and just go have a look in settings, which has, if you're new to Mango, a new item, background tasks. And here is where the user would control the tasks that are allowed to be active. Now, captain's log is marked as on. That means captain's log is allowed to run background tasks. And if I touch on there, you can see that, OK, log tracker is active, and if I click that button, it'll kill it. Now, the user can do this. So if your application has fundamental behaviours that need to be in the background task, you're in trouble, because if I hit that button, the log tracker is effectively kicked out of memory and won't run again. So if the user detects that your application has got a background thing that's flattening their battery or using up all their sort of bandwidth or whatever, then they can kill it. And at that point, it'll never get done. Now, captain's log is firing every minute, and we'll come to why that is in a second or so. But if I now drift back to the original background task, back up the back stack, and back again, and back again, and back again, I'm now back into my application. And if I touch view log, I've got a whole bunch of entries that were put in there by the application tracker. And the only problem and the failing of this particular application, and it's it hasn't recorded a position from the GPS sensor. Now, there's two reasons for that. One is that I haven't actually told it I am somewhere. So I have to click on the map to tell it where I am. But unfortunately, in the version that you're seeing in front of me, which is a pre-beta version, this is an older version of the emulator, it doesn't actually update that. Now, I've run the program on the phone, and it works a treat on the phone. So when you run the program in real life, you'll see that unknown replaced by a bunch of coordinates like that.
That's a beta, as they say, a feature.
It's a betaism, and I had many happy hours trying to figure out what was wrong with my code until I eventually ran it on the phone, and it worked. At which point words were said that were very Anglo-Saxon and short, and walls were punched. But it's chugging along at the moment, and so it's running in the background, and if ever I swap out, the application will actually just keep on going. And so there you have it, a background application running. If we take a look at, if we now just drift back, I can leave that chugging along, and then I can drift back to the deck. We can carry on from where we were. So, if I have to go up to here, there must be a better way of doing it than this. Andy will tell me what it is later on, I'm sure.
Click the deck where you were.
Okay, can you do that?
Well, there you go.
Okay, fine. I just did that. Right, okay. Nod and smile, Rob. Nod and smile. Okay, so let's go on to the next slide. So, the captain's log fired off a background task. The task began running when the captain's log application wasn't in the foreground. And this is one of the annoyances. When it pops up, it'll keep on popping up to the foreground each time the background task runs, which is kind of interesting. So we'll get you out of the way. You can't see that. I just did. Never mind. Moving on. The background task loads information from massive storage and then adds to it the location information and then pushes it back and displays a pop-up. That's what we've just seen. That's what Captain's Log will do for you, and you can steal that. When you're debugging, I said to you at the start, the log runs every half an hour, and then it seems to run every minute, which is interesting. There is a special launch for test behavior you can use on the scheduler to say, fire me up in whatever time span you want to specify. So I've got one in here that says, fire it up every 60 seconds. Don't make that time too short. 5 seconds might seem like fun, but it might be that because this is running in a different context, it might not actually kick in properly. So make it 60 or so, and you'll be absolutely fine. So this is a good way in which you can actually get the code in the agent to run more frequently than it would do in the real phone. You can see I'm using conditional compilation to turn this on. So when I actually want to run the program for production code, I'll turn off the debug agent symbol, and that code will then not get compiled, and my program will just run without the things. So this is really nice, though. This is wonderful, splendid. If we go back to the actual code, what we'll find is that something kind of weird is happening. Let's go have a look at the actual debugging story, because this is the last best bit. I love this bit. This is really clever, and if it works, I'll love it even more. So we have our application running, logging happily away. If I press the start button, my application has been made dormant or tombstoned, one of the two, but Visual Studio is still active. And so what I can do now is I can go back into the location task agent and find the source program that does all the work. Now what you're seeing here is the code that I put on those slides earlier. So we go off, get the log, get a timestamp, get the position, add the position to the string, save it back, and then pop up my toast, and then I fire off to run again in a minute's time. Okay? If I want to, I can put a breakpoint in here anywhere I like. And it'll come up, and it doesn't look like a proper breakpoint. It's not got the filled-in blob. But if we wait a while, what you will find is that at some point in the future, the next time this actually occurs, we'll hit that breakpoint when the code runs inside the background agent.
That empty circle there with the exclamation mark simply means that the assembly that you're trying to set a breakpoint in currently isn't loaded in memory.
Yeah.
So if the assembly does get loaded into memory, then the breakpoint will be activated like this.
Almost as if we planned it.
Yeah.
That's
it. So we rehearsed that so many times.
We did.
Get the timing
that was
just
that's
right,
the
yeah.
best one so far. Next stop, Broadway. We can now look at the log stream and see, yes, it's got these location entries in there. We could even change it using immediate window to make it put something else in there. But the bottom line, as far as you're concerned in terms of debugging background agents, is it's just like debugging foreground code. It's lovely. It's a great place to work. And so clear the breakpoint, run the program on, and up comes the little pop-up message, and all's well with the world. So debugging is very, very easy. Firing it up is very, very easy. Managing it is also rather nice. So what I'll just do, because I've got, I think, enough time to do it properly, if I drift into the application, this is the code that actually, I'll open it up a bit more in a minute. This is the code that finds the task. When your application wakes up, if it has a background agent, it has to actually find that and see if it's still running. And this code here, the Schedule Action Service, it has a find behavior, which you can use to actually go off and get that. And then if I've found the thing, I display stop tracking. If I got a null back, I put start tracking on the button. And then when you press the button, there's another test and starts the application if it's not running. And there you go. It's popped up in front again, which is jolly nice of it. So that's effectively how we do that. So there's nothing much, background agents, nothing to them really. Said the man who was so worried about making it work in the first place. So I got to find my way back to it. We got background tasks, it's lovely. So we just debug them as we would debug any other application. And now we're going to keep on moving forwards, because we have a lot more to do. Keep pressing the button, nothing's happening, I hate that. So yeah, file transfer tasks. This is another kind of task that's basically baked into the system. The background tasks that we've seen so far will do resource intensive or whatever. You could do a file transfer using a resource intensive task if you wanted to.
Yep.
But the background file transfer task is specifically for fetching lumps of data from HTTP or HTTPS hosts. We don't have FTP support at the moment, but the idea here is that basically we have a system which will maintain the active transfer that want to be moved and go off and get stuff for you. It's kind of based on what was living inside the application installer. If you buy an application from Marketplace, something brings it down and puts it in memory. And once they've made that work, they were so pleased with it, they put the behavior into the background task fetcher as well, which is rather nice. There are some policies that control this. You can't push more than 5 megabytes of data up to a server. You can't download more than 20 megabytes over a data connection on a mobile phone and 100 megabytes over Wi-Fi. And there are some preferences. There's an enumeration called transfer preferences that you can use to control a particular transfer. And it uses a namespace called background transfer. Big surprise. And you don't need to make any extra projects. It's not like you have to make another kind of task. You just add this thing and off it goes. And you make a transfer request, specify the method you want. Oh, very friendly. So that's and you specify where it's going to be. You give it a URI, which points to the local asset storage, and then the background task will bring that information down and store it for you. The best way to start it off, we add the transfer request to a queue, show a message box if we couldn't do that, catch the exception if it throws one, and the job's a good one. If we want to, we can find an active transfer and then bind event handlers to it, so we can do progress bars or counters that update how many bytes have been fetched. And we have two events we can bind to. We've actually got some data, which is progress changed, or we've changed state, we've completed or we've failed, which is the status changed. And so you bind to those, and your app can know when there's new data available for it. And there you go. This one, it just shows you how many bytes it's got. And this one here, if I get, I don't know why they're these numbers, but there you go. Status code's 200 or 206 mean it's worked. So that's a really good question, isn't it? Pop quiz question there. But if you get those on the completed state, then that means you can actually use that file. Those numbers may have meanings in webland, I don't know. But it's outside my my particular expertise.
Yeah, oh, yes, that's HTTP codes.
Oh, okay, thank you.
I'll tell you over a beer.
Good man. Yeah. Yes, make it two. you can kill transfers, you can find what transfers are active, you can do all that good stuff. And just to prove how easy it is, I've got a little demonstration which shows it all working. And again, all this code is up for grabs. And if I can find my way back to my desktop, I'll just stop the captain's log, and I'll push the captain's log into Oblivion. And there he goes. And now I'll go off and get the... Oh, gosh, my brain's not working today. I'll go off and get the background tasks folder, and go get the file transfer task, and I'll open it up, and it'll all just work.
Right. While you're doing that, question just... Akshay asking, is this just Mango, or was it also present in Windows Phone 7? Now, all these background agents is all brand new.
All brand
stuff.
New shiny, yep. Yes. So this is all Windows Phone 7.5, tools 7.1, as we say. This is Picture Fetch. I give it a URL, in this case, a picture on my website. Press the Start Fetch, it'll make a background task, and then start fetching the picture down. There's a counter which will tell me how many bytes have been fetched. So if I do that, it makes the fetch go off, and now you can see it's counting up how many bytes. It's quite a nice, big, fat, friendly picture. So it's about 4 megabytes in size. It's bringing them down. You should see the counter slowly increasing as more and more is brought down. Gets to about 4, and the complete event will fire, and the picture will be displayed. So this is effectively going through an entire... Oh, the captain's log's still running.
Yes, I think you need to kill it. It's annoying.
You can't kill the captain. which just shows that it's perfectly okay to run things in background as well. But
actually, it's a note to all of you. Do not create background tasks that do toast pop-ups, because you'll find it's the quickest way of getting your app uninstalled
every
off
minute,
every phone.
Yeah. Every minute is bad.
well, yeah, that's a debug situation.
This is Robert. True, yes. So. And he's quite right. But if you want to do the file download story, just get hold of Picture Fetch and go to it. Go to it, folks. It's all there. It all just works.
Can we have an excellent question here from Tara Walker?
Okay.
So she says, I want to make sure I'm clear on the flow. On initial launch of the app, the first time, it activates the background task, but the background task doesn't run until the app is not in foreground, you're correct? Then the question is, do you control the stop-start of the background task in the app, or the background task, or both?
You could do it in both.
It's both.
Simply a method. There's a library of process management stuff, which you basically hit against to say, find me the background task called Trevor. If a background task looks for a background task, it'll basically find itself, because it's the only one there. You can't control background tasks from other applications.
But the background task, once it runs once, it will then continue to run every 30 minutes.
Yes, yes, that's right. Unless the foreground app runs, in which case it won't get run.
Sure.
So,
but yeah, once it's set off, it will run. There is a time, if no, that's right. What's the limit on it?
I'll have to get back to you on yep. that, said the man who doesn't know. But as far as I'm aware, once it's in there, there are some timeouts. There's about a month or a day or something, which it needs to be tickled in some way.
But that's right. There's a time limit on this. So background task has to be specifically rescheduled every so many days. And I forget what the exact summit is, 2 weeks or something. Otherwise, if it hasn't... Because it means that the foreground app, if the foreground app hasn't been running sort of 2 weeks, the system will decide, oh, clearly the user isn't interested in this app anymore, so there's absolutely no point in running this background task anymore. Sorry?
That's right, absolutely, yes.
So you actually have to, it has to sort of opt in, the app has to opt into running these background tasks on a regular basis.
That's a really good question. Thank you very much. And you're all spot on, that's lovely. So that's picture fetching. Final thing I want to mention is, transfer management. Yes, you can find out how to do that. There's a very good example, or you could just use mine. Either will work fine. This tells you how many active transfers you have outstanding. And the final thing I want to mention is scheduled notifications, which is effectively a way in which you can do your car park timer. If you've bought 2 hours on the car park and you want to have a thing that goes bing-bong in 2 hours' time to say, time to go back to the car or whatever, then this is a notification, not a task, okay? Something will light up on the phone, but it won't cause your program to run or any of your code to run. So you can basically make a notification task that will do something for you. And the one I've made is an egg timer, because why not? And this will let you effectively decide how long you want to do your egg for, and then just run for that amount of time in the background, whether your app's active or not. And making it easy enough, set the begin time, set the egg ready message that appears in the pop-up when it's finished, say how many, if you want it to recur at regular intervals, that's fine. This is just a one shot. And then a navigation URI to the actual page in your app that you want to go to when the event fires and the user goes, take me there. That's it. There's nothing more you need to do. Before you add an app, a reminder, make sure it isn't already in memory, so there's a way in which you can search for reminders and find them if they're there and either kill them or rearrange them, make them do different things. And I'm going to have to kill the captain off.
Steve Masters just specifically requested, can you please kill the captain?
I'm going to go and kill the captain now. Excuse me one moment, I'll just go around the back and, I do apologise.
Simply kill the volume on it.
I'm going to kill the emulator. I'm not going to.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to mess around.
That'll do it.
The cap. This is it. You won't come back from that one, Squire. Amount of rewriting.
Just while you're doing that, I shall answer another question. Everett Whiteway has said, "What's the advantage of the background file download as against using the web client to retrieve data when the app is running in the foreground?"
It's a really good question.
It's a good question, and obviously both are ways of doing this thing, but just the background file download, it's a way of just having something running without the app having to be in the foreground. So it's something that you can just sort of fire and forget, and it's going on there, and it just means that the next time your user does run your app, the data that's been uploaded, which could be quite a large file, is there and ready to go. Whereas, obviously, if you do a big file download from your foreground app, you've got to handle the user's expectations like with a progress bar and all that kind of stuff.
Bottom line for me is if the thing lights up and the progress bar's going dunk, 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 I'm thinking, the heck with this, I'm going to go off and do something more interesting and I'll kill the app, at which point you lose everything. Yeah. But if you fire off a background task, they can come back in an hour and see how it's got on.
Yes.
So if you want to do any kind of file transfer that the user will have to wait for, so you do it. So, this is my notification. I've set it down to what I can do. I can do 1 minute eggs to 10 minute eggs. So I'd like a 1 minute egg, please. So down to one. That's just a slider and a number bound to it. If I do that, it fires off a notification and we have to think of interesting things to say for a minute while the thing times out. So over to you, Andy.
I've got nothing to say, really.
Okie dokie. But what's happening now is that the time is going by and you could actually admire my slider, which took me minutes to create.
Indeed, it's lovely.
It's a work of art. And when this fires up, if I'm quick, I can click on the notification and it'll take me back to the other page of this app, which is the Egg Ready page, which could have a nice picture of an egg and maybe some serving suggestions, which in my case will be on a plate with a spoon.
We're actually working on a... We're actually working on a kitchen timer app.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and I have to say it looks slightly better than yours, but...
You have to say that, don't you? Yeah. Okay, who would have thought a minute could take so long? How did I press the start timer button? Probably not. Oh, I must have done. Go on, let's try that again.
See, version 2 of this needs a progress bar of actually the countdown or, you know...
Well, yes, you could do that. But what I can do is I can just whack out of the application. I can just go away. I can navigate away from the app now. Notifications running in the background. And at some point in the future, I could go off and surf the internet. I think what it is actually is the system is actually sulking because I killed the captain. And it didn't approve of this. So I can go off and do some surfing. And at some future point, hopefully within a minute or so, the notification will pop up and we'll actually get told that our egg is ready. Having said that, it's not looking hopeful, is it? Anyone got a watch on?
You mean you sat in front of a PC?
Sat in front of a PC, I am. Let's see if that number changes before that number. It did work when I tested it way back when. And so I'm even buying you a beer if this doesn't go.
This could be.
Okay, right, fine. Well, I think it's had its chance. And quite... Oh, there you go.
Finally.
Finally. So if I click actual, on there real quick...
There is a serious point about this, actually, which we've also observed in trying to get our own app working. And actually, the resolution of these timers is not very accurate.
We can play this back. We can actually time this. Yes. And if it takes... If there's somebody in there thought, oh, Rob's doing a demo, I'll make it last 5 minutes.
Well, we found actually longer intervals, it's got a better chance of
shorter
coming
ones
in. But shorter ones, there's some scheduling stuff in the OS that means it might well miss it by a bit.
There's a radio program on the BBC in the UK called Just a Minute, we have to talk for a minute about something. And occasionally they play this awful trick where they just don't stop and the poor guy just has to keep going. And the record takes about 5 minutes before the guy twigged that he was being messed with. But maybe the system was messing with our heads. But as you can see, the application came back and we clicked on the notification and we got taken to the Egg Ready page. That doesn't have to happen, so you mustn't plan for that happening. The user could ignore your notification and just continue. But if you're making up a parking timer app or any other kind of timer app, then you now have a way in which you can keep track of time even when the user isn't running your program. So it's running in the background at that point. So I'm very pleased that worked. Because demos don't fail for Rob.
No.
Rob is the man whose demos always work. Nothing else in his life works, but his demos are absolutely perfect. So you've seen the egg timer, you've seen the code that makes it work, and if you want to use that, absolutely. Someone asked, is all this code here open source? What's the licensing we're putting on our demonstration software? And I think it's called the cut and paste license.
Yes,
basically, you can just take
this
it.
This is all for you to use.
Make it fly
as you wish.
Absolutely, yeah. And good luck.
Yeah.
Right. Final one I'm going to mention, but I won't have too much time to actually demo. I'm afraid is audio playback. You can make an agent which will play back an audio file in the background. Oh, and I've gone too far on that one. I apologise. The audio can be streamed or held in the ISS. Now, there's a big gotcha here, a big nasty one. What I really wanted to do was make a playlist manager par excellence that plays my media and detects when I want to move on to my favourites and all kinds of good stuff like that. The audio playback agents at the moment cannot do that because they can't see the music in the media store. So the only music they can play is files that are actually downloaded into your application storage area. Now, you could do that using a background task to fetch the audio. That's fine. The time when the playback agents do get very useful, though, is you can stream. So if you have a music streamer out there in the cloud somewhere you want to actually play through the phone in background, you can actually stream from a URL as well as play a file on the machine. So it's unfortunate you can't play music from the media area. Maybe that'll happen in the next version. I honestly don't know. But the setup and the management and the behaviour is pretty much exactly as you've seen, so I don't want to spend too much more time when we have other things to do than that. So, here we go. You can make background processes. You've got two flavours of tasks you can make work for you. Runs every now and then, runs to do a large job. Okay? These things will run, whether your application, scheduled applications will fire on a timer, whether you running or not, and audio playback runs alongside the application. Those are worth bearing in mind.
Can I just pick up that second bullet point there, because we've got a question, just so there's clearly still a little bit of confusion.
I apologise, yeah.
No, that's all right, no. There's a question from Tarek, and it's worth just reinforcing this. The question is the background task for the egg timer running while the application is in the foreground? Maybe I'm mistaken, but I thought the background task only runs when the application is not in the foreground.
It's because I've put them all in the same presentation, because they've all got the kind of...
They are different.
They're totally different.
The egg timer uses notifications, scheduled notifications.
Yes, that's right.
Which is not a background task.
No, it just happens to be in this presentation because it happens to run in kind of behind. But it's a notification ad is basically a way in which you can set an appointment to occur in the future at some point, which will just fire up a message that links to your app. So it doesn't have any kind of processing ability. Whereas the background task, periodic and resource intensive, they can run your code. Whereas I'm afraid the schedule thing just pops up a notification after the time you specified has elapsed, plus about 10 minutes, it would appear, from the testing. So, yes, it's a very good question, and I'm sorry if that's caused a bit of confusion, but the idea here is that you have a way in which you can make something go bing-bong even when you aren't there, or whether you're there, either will work. And as we've seen, you can put a breakpoint in the background task, and it'll just hit that when the background task runs, and it's as simple as that. After the break, we come back and we do Windows Phone Resources, which Andy does some speaking in.
Yeah, at last.
sorry, folks.
Much as Andy, I like listening to the sound of your voice.
Andy does a lot of tomorrow, yeah. Please. And so if you want to come back in around 10 minutes, then 10 of your Earth minutes, yeah, why not? Let's stick with Earth minutes, they work the best. Then we'll give you some good skinny on how to do resources.